understand that I did not sleep.
Yes, yes. No, I didn't sleep.
As long as you are well.
But members, I wanted to say to you, you know, as just to open this meeting, is that sometimes there are unfortunate things that do happen. And when you are doing this kind of job that we do, of exercising oversight, from time to time, you can get into trouble. But there is one thing I'm very clear about, is that it's very difficult to intimidate me, so I'm hoping that even yourselves, you are not going to try and intimidate me in this meeting. Okay?
Yeah, you are abusive now.
But honestly, members, thank you very much, and let me thank you again once more. I do think that, you know, I think we are making strides. You see, when you are doing this work and you know that you are doing it right, then you start getting a lot of pressure from different angles. Then you know that there is something that you must be doing right. And I wanted to encourage members to devote themselves in this work. It's very important. I know that sometimes we tend to think that the work of the executive is more important than our work, our oversight, parliamentary oversight function. But my view is that I think they are equally important because we both need each other. And these are checks and balances that our constitution provides for. And it is absolutely important that we do our work without fear, favor, or prejudice. And we also devote ourselves when we do this work, and we become meticulous in whatever that we do. At least we can say, pride ourselves for saying, you know, if you see some difference somewhere in South Africa, you say, I had a contribution in that. And I think there is no joy that is bigger than that, that's more than that, when you see something that is getting right. But if you are going to sit back and allow mediocrity and just succumb to whatever pressures that you get, unfortunately, you are actually defining yourself out of relevance and significance. And that is why I love you all, my members, and I want you to continue doing the good work that you are doing.
Oh, thank you, Chair.
Yes, I thank you for doing that. I also wanted to tell you that I went to, on Friday, was it Friday, Sheila, when I went to PSC? Yes. Strategic planning. We had a very, very good session with all the commissioners from all the provinces. I got to appreciate the kind of challenges they are facing. They got to engage with me on a number of issues. And I'm also very happy that when I left that strategic planning on Friday, I had a sense that, you know, if we do, I had a sense that the PSC is going to improve on their work, and I think it's going to provide this committee with information that would assist us to make our oversight visit choices, because those reports that come from the PSC are very, very critical to us as this committee. The other thing that I also needed to tell the members is that Honorable Frolic is really pleased with our work, to a point where he has actually mandated myself and Honorable Godi to sit down and work out a strategy of ensuring that whatever issues that come out of that committee, SCOPA, the Standing Committee on Public Accounts, they find it, they find their expression in this committee. Now, that's very important because year after year, the Auditor General pronounces on certain issues in different departments, and sometimes same departments, they are found to be doing the same mistakes they've been committing for years. And it became very clear that the committee that is in the at the code phase of service delivery is this committee. And it's a committee that is cross-cutting, like the same as the Standing Committee on Public Accounts. We are, by virtue of you know, if you read your Chapter 10 of the Constitution, this committee, if you look at its mandate, it's actually much wider. And it's even worse because we're also responsible for the Department of Planning, Performance, Monitoring and Evaluation, which means at the end of the day, the implementation of the NDP is actually with us. The NDP, in other words, the coordinated aspect of the NDP, so that when we are, it is therefore important for us to insist on the Department of Planning, Performance, Monitoring and Evaluation that we want to get regular reports on how we are doing in different departments, so that we know exactly which departments must we summon here to come here before this committee and appear before this committee that are not doing their work in terms of implementing the NDP. So I thought that it's going to be very important for me to make those remarks and welcoming you this morning. And I'm very optimistic, and I know that this committee has done a lot of good work even before I came in, because you were able to turn around the situation at the NYDA. And I don't think NYDA would have improved it the way it had, in terms of getting, you know, unqualified audit opinions for years consecutively. And I think it's because of your role that you played, and it's because of putting the interests of your country first and the interests of the youth in conducting your work. And for that, I want to appreciate your work long before I came in. Basically, I'm just here, at least I find a well-oiled machinery. I cannot fail you, therefore. I mean, we were under the stewardship for some time of Honorable Lesoma, and I think that we are going to make it, members. I'm an optimist, and I know that we are going to make it. That said, members, we have, how many apologies do we have? We have, yes? Oh, yes, that is fine.
Chief, thanks. Well, on your remark, now, I would just like to say on the intimidation part, performing well, you can be assured that we are birds of the same feather, as old saying goes, that flock together, we will also not be intimidated. But, Chief, on a lighter note, as we are one family here, may I just bring to your attention that Honourable Kasim this weekend got elected to the provincial leadership of the Eastern Cape, and I think we could also congratulate him.
Oh, yeah, wow. Congratulations. Stand up.
Leadership,
stand up. Yeah. Well done.
Okay.
Well done. Okay, is there anybody want to react on that one, or must I proceed, members? Okay, I don't want to be seen to be discriminatory because Fandevate has spoken, and unfortunately, it was herself and myself that were quoted in that silly article.
Yeah. I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chair, thank you. I'm not even going to switch the mic.
Oh, okay, no problem. Yes.
About the intimidation, we'll talk about it when we do the informal report. What I wanted to say, given that the Honorable Van der Walt has been announcing all sorts of things, that just to let the members of the committee know that otherwise you'll hear it in the streets and that's not good.
Yeah.
One Sejamo Thabo Motau won the Achievement Award, Gold Award, for the 2017 Prism Awards. And this is what they say about him, for being a lifelong advocate of the public relations and communication management profession. And that is me, and this is...
Oh, okay. Woo! Woo! Any other member? Mervyn, what has happened of the Republican? I'm not going to talk about what we've done. Mervyn also has managed to drive another aspect home. And we've had a very good chat over the WhatsApp as a group. As the ANC, we have a WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
So we talk, and it was a lovely, lovely, lovely. I'm not going to tell that. That belongs to us.
No, but I'm also not in that
because she's wearing blue. Because she is wearing blue.
Yeah, she's a whip. She can't.
No, we don't want her in that group. And
whip.
Also, she wears blue. Blue colors. That's not right.
Blue is beautiful.
No, no, no. Anyway. Members, we've received an apology from Honorable A.F. Mutambi, and who else? Honorable Sengwa from?
IFP.
Because I heard you saying EFF,
yeah,
and I wanted to say Maskole. He has such a beautiful name. By the way, for those of you that don't know, Maskole means let's make peace. And we are not going to be able to make peace if we are going to say Shongwa is a member of the EFF. He's a member of the IFP. In Kata Freedom Party. Okay, thank you. And Mokau Se from the EFF. We've received those apologies. Thank you very much, member.
Chair.
Yes?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. We do have apologies. I don't know what happened between the wires through to the office. We've got an apology from Honorable Verma. She's overseas for the week. And also Dubaza now on the... What is that intelligence joint, whatever,
okay.
Joint city. And also Honorable Nyami Boy, he's a scoffer, he has apologized for him as well.
Okay, thank
but
you very much.
Also, respectively, the DM from DPSA, she did apologize for that. Probably his office, her office not oiled up so that they can send a formal apology to your office.
Okay, no, that is fine, because today, in any case, we are dealing with matters of the committee specifically. So I think we can accept all those apologies. Thank you very much, Honorable Lesoma. And we will miss Verma. You know that Verma is one of our very, very active members of this committee. And I love her consistency on specific issues. Members, without further ado, can we please consider the minutes of the 3rd May 2017? Let's start with those ones. Because your memory is still fresh. Eh? No, but why don't we? I was thinking that we're gonna move from tail end there quite. Okay. This one is telling me that we needed to go back and start from February. But I thought if I start from the tail end, you guys were going to be able to trace your steps backwards and come back to here. Okay, that's fine. Okay. Let's start with the ones of the 8th of February 2017. Is there anything, members, that appears on page 1?
Okay.
Yes?
Just my surname, the 8th at the 8th.
I can be two persons from time to time.
Okay. Can we please make sure that we correct that so that it shouldn't be a recurring mistake? Is there any other thing on page one, members? On page two? Page three. On page four. And on page five. Page five, and finally on page six. Members, yes, Honorable Hassan.
Chairperson, mine is just to pose a clarity seeking question.
No problem.
On point 6.2, 6.3, 6.4 on page 6, have those, has that information been received by the committee? Am I to commit it? That's what I'm asking.
Which one? What point?
The last page, Chair.
The last page.
Oh.
There was certain information that the NYDA committed to providing to the committee that I remember requesting. It is reflected in the minutes. So mine was to the secretary of the committee. Has all of that information been received by the NYDA?
Not yet.
If not, what, as the matter arising from the minutes, what are we as a committee doing to set deadlines? We've got the budget vote.
Yes, yeah. You know, I had spoken to Julius at the last meeting, because what I wanted us to introduce a new resolution tracker system. So that each resolution that we take, it has a unique ID, like that will be going by the day. And it will also have, you know, by when should such a thing, such information be coming to us. And such a tracking of resolutions, especially those that have not been implemented, there will always, I wanted a situation where we get that tracking all the time before we come to the meeting, so that we can track what is happening with these resolutions. Because unfortunately, when we are writing, capturing resolutions like this, sometimes it's a problem because you never know which one has been, you know, which one we have been able to, you know, address that we are done with, which one is still outstanding and so forth. But that said, I think, Maskole, can you also make sure that, we follow up with the NYDA? And we get that. I don't mind to actually write a letter. You can do that, and you can bring to my office, and then we can send it. Okay, to them. Yes, Honorable Youngblood. I'm noting you, Pastor. I'm noting you, Honorable Soma.
Chair, I'm sorry, thank you. If you look at the minutes that we've got here of the 22nd of February, it seems as if the minutes of the 8th of February has been accepted already. Just look at the last page there. The 8th of February, Honorable Soma moved and Honorable Wilma seconded. So it has been before this committee already.
Were these minutes adopted?
Yes.
Are you going to the next set? Maskole, I need you to know which minutes have not been considered, because I can't be going on minutes that we have already considered. Okay, so the ones of the 8th, because that was before I became the chair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I then?
Yes, Honorable Listoma.
I can't move because I was the chair. But I wanted to read something, Chair.
Yes.
Okay, let me first say, thank you, Chair. To say in respect of tracking system from our side as a portfolio committee, I'll add your good sense or your good office as well to engage with the House of Chairs, Honorable Flores, so that the moment our minutes or our reports go through the House, the Speaker also writes to the respective departments for action, because those are the other processes that we should each do cycle. I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that because we have
parallel
one, because it holds legal weight, the other process as well. Thank you.
Yeah. No, that is fine, that is fine. But I'm talking about the tracking from the point of view of the committee, so that we know what, you know, if it's still stuck with the speaker, maybe it has not gone out or whatever, we need to find out. The staff must always be bringing to us a report that tells us where is, you know, why is, at what stage of the process is the matter held up, so that we unblock that and we are able to track it. Yes, Honorable Carson?
Honorable Chairperson, there's a reason why I asked this question. It's fine, these minutes have been adopted. But we are going into budget votes very soon. And we are going to decide whether we agree or we don't agree, even in the report that we're adopting today, on the budget that is allocated to the NYDA from within the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. And it's very difficult to debate a matter like that when, as a committee, we have requested critical information that speaks to the performance of that public entity. And that public entity now, months later, has still not shown respect to this committee to make that information available. I was present in that meeting in February. When they said, it's no problem, but by next week we can send you this thing, as if they've got this information already. And we now sit in May, and this information is not here. We, as individuals, are going to debate on the budget. I want to just re-emphasize the urgency of getting this information, but let's say before our next meeting, because we need to be able to debate from an informed point of view. We can't be just assuming if the NYDA is asking for X amount of money, that is what we need to agree with if we have not actually properly done so from an informed point of view. So it's very important to get this information, Chairperson. I have been asking about it before, and that's why I asked about it today.
Okay. Honorable Summer?
No, just a concrete suggestion, Chair, that can your office with your support personnel, we get that information by Friday this week.
Okay.
Because we are debating next week, if then we'll be holding the honourable member in terms of debating, then because it has to be there, probably just a follow up from the administration that is making.
Yeah, let's treat this matter as rather urgent, and I've already requested that we do that, Helene.
Yes.
That if you could, if it means us, me drafting a letter that I can sign that can go there, over and above whatever processes of Parliament, just to say we need this thing ASP, you know, it will be very, very useful. Okay, thank you. I think your matter is being addressed right now. Honorable Young Flute, you have your light on. Is it by mistake or you want to speak? Okay, members, let's go to the minutes of the 22nd. Oh, Honorable, for which ones? For the 8th. The 8th. The minute of the 8th, I was told. The minutes of the 8th were adopted, I understand, on the 22nd. You understand that, Honorable Dex?
No.
If you go on the minutes of the 22nd, at the back, they are adopted. The minutes that are adopted are not the ones of the 22nd, but the ones of the 8th. Okay. Can we go on? Let's move very fast, members, on this one, because I really want us to have sufficient time to deal with the oversight report and all the other reports that we have. Okay. Page 1.
February.
Yeah, the spelling is correct. Well done, Maskole. The spelling of Van der Vaart is correct. Yes.
On same page 1, the agenda item, I would love us, because consideration and adoption of the previous minutes, which is good, but also the election of the chair, because it was an item, if I'm not mistaken, if I read this
minute. It was.
Yeah, I think yes, we must put together an point two on agenda item.
How can they omit that? Are you trying to delegitimize me? Okay. Can we have that correction, please?
Yeah.
Honorable Matau taught us today that it's very important to speak for ourselves. I'm being defined out, and I don't like that. So, Honorable Matau, you told us, you know, that we have to congratulate you, and we did. So,
I knew, and I didn't.
Oh, I shouldn't have told you this.
No. I'm saying you set a very good precedent. And now I am saying, because you've sent that precedent here in this minute, I was elected at this minute and at this meeting, and it's not reflected. And I am saying I want to speak for myself, that I can't not be recognized. It's got to be in the minute. Okay. Thank you. Let's go to page 2. Okay, is there any more by seconder? Thank you, Honourable Van der Vaart. And seconded by?
Yeah.
Can
I move it?
Honourable Van der Vaart has moved, so you are seconding. Yeah. Thank you, Honourable Dex. Let's move on to the next minutes of the 1st March 2017. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4. Yes, Honorable Son.
So, thank you, Chair. On page 4, the 5.2, within the series of what Honorable Kassim raised earlier on, that I think we should have put the time frame here within this, by when do we expect the response regarding the tracing and all that from the department. Because the other thing is that if we don't set the timeline, then it becomes open-ended.
Honorable Sommer, was the timeline specified 30 minutes at that meeting? Because we can't import something that was not discussed at that meeting. Was it resolved during that meeting?
I'm saying, Chair, moving forward. Because
moving forward. Okay. As long as moving forward, yes, let's do that. But we can't. I thought you want us to bring the date in the minutes. We can't. Because it's no longer a true reflection of what transpired. Then page 5, members. Yes, Honorable Song?
Page 5 is a slight thing, Chair.
Okay.
The 5.3, the committee advised that all 11 official languages, not officials' languages. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And is there any mover? Moved by Honorable Sommer, who is seconding the minutes. Honorable Yonkut, thank you very much. Let's move on to the minutes of the 8th of March 2017. Page 1. Again, we are not going to be able to tolerate that mistake. Eh? Honorable Van der Vaart, yes, I mean, in by the way, in Zulu, ne? When you are greeting a person, one person, remember Tina, we have plurality even when we are greeting.
Yeah.
You say sanibonani. Mm-hmm. When you are saying it in plurality, it accords that person that respect. It's part of our honoristic rules. So I'm hoping that they are going to ensure that they don't treat you the same way as they treat Mervyn Dex, because Dex has an S at the end. Now they also put S in Babs. Okay, so let's make sure that we don't do that, ne? Okay, it has become a habit. Okay, page 2. Page 3. And page 4. Page 5. Page 6. Any mover, any seconder? Moved by Honorable Longwistle, seconded by Honorable Summer. Let's move on to the, we are not going to deal with the ones of the third, because we don't have, because they are only sent to me and I have not actioned them to, yeah, no, I understand. Okay, thank you very much, members. What did you do to my program? Okay, members, we have the oversight, the consideration of the oversight report. Now, one of the things that I want us to try and do is to align our oversight visits with our day-to-day work that we do as members. And when we observe certain things, because I have noticed that sometimes you go on oversight visits, but usually, I'm not saying in this committee, but in other committees, you come back and nothing is done, and those people that you've come there and there's no action, you don't give them any feedback about what is happening. So I thought that it's going to be absolutely important for us to decide exactly what action are we going to be taking about certain things. If we have to be resolving properly here, because remember, we go on this oversight, we never get an opportunity to sit down and talk about those observations in a proper meeting like this, where you can resolve on issues or on observations that you might have made. So I would love us to come up to, you know, think more about action. You know, you've gone on an oversight. What is the action? What's going to happen? Is it was to go there and only to say, wow, this thing is not working or whatever? I think we need to be, we have to be, you know, results driven. So that in those places where we have been, we need to be able to say, like, for example, in Matikwana Hospital, we need to be on their neck in terms of following up. What is happening in this hospital? We were there on this date and this date, and these are the things that came up. What is happening now? You know, because we can't go and lie to people. You come there, you raise their hopes, they see us, we are there, then we disappear, then it's the end of the story, and they go back to the old ways of doing things. So I think it's going to be important for us. We just need to work the mechanics of that, but I think it's going to be absolutely important that we link our oversight with the work of the committee as much as possible. Okay, that's my suggestion. Okay, members, is there anybody wants to speak? Yes, Honorable Lesoma, then Honorable Youngport.
Chair, I think precisely on that score, that's our role anyway, to do the oversight and follow up to see whether the issues that have been raised before us, we are making follow up on that one. Probably what we just need to do then, not today, is to say how do we go back, but looking at this, then also just wherever we have directed in terms of our recommendations to a department or a ministry, after the adoption of the report, we then write from our side to side. You write to those relevant ministries or departments, even provincially, because that's our role. There's no other committee that deals cross-cutting matters. Where it needs to be have a joint committee also, let's action that.
Yeah.
And have more meetings than also so that we get results.
Okay, thank you very much. Members, the report was tabled to you at the last meeting, and we did appeal to members to go and actually read the oversight report. Our officials did a very good job of actually trying to capture as much detail as possible. And I would like us to have specific resolutions on certain items. But before that, maybe before we can even engage with the actual report itself, I want to give you an opportunity to just maybe people to just give us their views about how the oversight went, what things that we should be thinking about going forward, those type of issues, whatever overview issues that you have that you would like to share before we get into the report itself. You may actually refer to it, but I'm just giving you an opportunity to react on that, because to me, an oversight visit is very, very important. Because that's where you really feel whether there is the government is actually delivering or it's not. That's the major, very, very powerful tool. Okay, yes, Honorable Youngblood. And Honorable Ntambela, you will follow after her.
Chair, I'm glad to hear that you are referring to the importance of oversight visits. Now, I'm not sure if Honorable Kasim feels the same way, feel like a lame duck. Now, this is a combination of two government departments, two departments, and as such, I and Honorable Kasim are regarded as alternate members of the, and we never get to go, or we're never going to get to go on oversight visits. Now, if one of my duties as a parliamentarian is to do oversight and to be able to speak with knowledge about the things that's happening out there, I cannot understand why we are excluded from going on oversight visits, and I would like some investigation to be made to see why aren't we going, and is it a cost matter or what is it? Because at the moment we are not doing what we are supposed to be doing, which is an important part of our job, to do oversight. And we can only do it, and I would like to, look, I can go alone.
Yes.
But I would like to do it as part of the collective. Thank
yes.
you.
Yes. No, I understand. I don't know how it works in the specific committee. I know that there were some reasons that were cited, were cost implications, but in my standing committee on finance, even alternate members were allowed to go on oversight. Because otherwise, how do you, the only thing I know about an alternate member is that when it comes to voting, you don't vote. But all the rights of a member, you have the full rights of the member, except that when it comes to voting, it's only those limited numbers that must vote, that you know, in, or they can vote in the absence of the others. But that principle doesn't apply on the oversight. It only applies on voting. I'm talking about the Standing Committee on Finance that I was serving in. It was only applicable only to the alternates. So it was only applicable to was only applicable when on voting, even during the SABC, by the way, because I want to stretch that further. During the SABC hearing, we had a lot of alternates, but Parliament, because we're not using our entitlements, I mean, alternates were not using their own personal entitlements to attend the meeting. They were using the budget of that specific committee because they were alternate members. And the rationale behind that is that if you are an alternate member, you need to be able to make, when it comes to voting and when it comes to discussing, you need to be well versed with the issues at hand. Maybe it's something that we may have to raise with Honorable Frolic as an issue that has come up in this committee, and thank you very much for raising it with us. Otherwise, I thought it was just a normal thing, and I must apologize, because I thought maybe something that you might have agreed on. Yes, Honourable Mata.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. It's very important what that will take us through, and I agree with you and I can support that. That is why we as a DA have always been very critical of this, what I call hybrid articulated committee. We have two departments here which are fully fledged. I've spoken about it ever since, and Minister Fadebe, to his credit, has always said it rests with us. So I agree, let us make it a standing agreement that the alternate for matters of oversight and stuff like that will be treated as full members, because you've always got this thing that, you know, the alternate, they can't go if you are going and stuff like that. So it's very important that we're taking this decision today. It goes halfway towards addressing the issues that we have as a party. The other issue that we have, Chair, and you need to know this because Parliament has already heard from me about this, is that if the Department of DPME and DPSA are fully fledged departments, they need to have their own separate committees like all other departments. That has not happened. We know it is because of all the sorts of things that this Parliament has, but then we should not disadvantage members of this committee because we have been compromised by Parliament to actually have an articulated committee like this one.
There is a point that that Biela is raising, but I just want him to clarify it because I don't understand it. You've written me a note here. I want to understand. I want to understand it. Is that applicable only to the DA?
No, Chair.
What are you talking about then? Okay, let me tell you what he's written to me. He is telling me that they serve officially in the DPME sector, while others serve on the DPSA sector. Now, I know this committee to be serving all those, both these sectors, and I just want clarity on that. I've noted you and the gentleman, I'm going to take you as soon. I just want us to dispense with this issue, isn't Biela?
Okay, but you can get that.
Because they have a soft voice, true.
No, Chair, I was on just indicating to you that whenever the members debate from the DA, when they talk about issues, there are those who are on the DPME side and there are those who are on the DPSA side.
What is the relevance of that? Okay, yes, Honorable Dex, it seems to be really, really,
I'm also, I have a problem with this thing today. In fact, this should have been two committees.
Yes.
Two proposals.
Yes.
And this is creating problems even for myself. I raised it with the whip yesterday, that I cannot serve on a committee of the woman anymore. She must speak to the whip. Because we are actually dealing with two departments and then all their subunits. So supposed to have been two committees, but it's all lumped into one committee. So does the workload is even much more for us here. And then you still expect to serve another committee.
And in fact, there is also something that I have picked up. And especially when we dealt, we seem to have focused more on DPSA.
Yeah.
And that is actually evident in the presentations we had here.
Yeah.
DPSA came here and they said absolutely nothing about the NDP. And this is a very, very important committee that is supposed to be telling us about how far is the implementation government-wide in terms of the implementation of the NDP. But that is left by wayside. And yet we are left with only 12 years before we get to 2030. And maybe it's something that we need to go and raise with Honorable Frorick. I will organize a meeting. Maybe some members can come with me who wanted to come. The whip is going to be there, maybe from the opposition as well. Probably maybe one of you might actually come so that we can go to Honorable Frorick and say, basically, we have two well-established departments here. And these departments are all cross-cutting. And it's going to be very important that we even sort out the issues of membership, because with this committee, because other members have to serve in other committees as well. But already here you have two committees in one, though. But I'm saying two committees in one. You know, they two separate departments, but they departments that are cross-cutting, meaning that they all have special focus areas. Because if you are going to be doing the monitoring and evaluation, that's where we have to really bring in Statistics South Africa to give us, because I see the Department of Planning, Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, I see us being more dependent on Stats SA as well to present us statistics, or maybe to even ask them that we want you to be able to collect information around this area and come back and table it before us, because we need to know what is happening. You saw with what we got last week. I mean, we can't tell where we are with the NDP, yet we are 7 years down the line.
So just to clarify the situation on the DA side, and that's why we have always had a problem with this. As we sit here, I and Kasim are DPME. Van der Waal and Youngblood are DPSA. That is how we're structured, because she is a minister, I'm a minister shadow, they are the deputy shadow ministers. And that's where the problem comes, when they say...
Yo, I am honored to be before the minister.
When,
after 2019.
When the committee now has to function, it functions as one committee. So the two of us are members of this committee. The two are alternate.
But
in our structure, we are actually full members, and that's where the problem comes, and that's where the problem for DEX also comes.
But you are also right, because even with us, we do have specialists that are going to be specializing on that sector and that sector. But when we come here, we have to be coming here as one.
But the problem is two are not full members.
That's right.
Yeah, that is the problem. I think we need to resolve. Maybe we do need, because we may actually need. This committee is really, really, a lot of the services done to this committee. Like, I can tell you, the other members that are sitting in this committee, they are actually whips in other very, very fully fledged committees. As a result, this committee, they are never here. I mean, Nyami Boy is in Scopa, and the Scopa is a full-time committee. You can't have somebody sitting in Scopa, and he's a whip. And you can't have somebody like Nyami Boy, you know, otherwise we just need to sort this thing out, because we are going to write a strong motivation, especially given the importance of the board functions that we are performing, so that other people are released, because even Verma is also expected to sit in the women committee. And sometimes she has to attend those meetings and she has to be here. And yet, in fact, ideally, this committee should be meeting at least twice a week. And I'll tell you why. Because when we meet once a week, the problem is that we tend to focus more on DPSA issues and not necessarily paying sufficient attention on monitoring and evaluation issues. And those are very, very serious issues. Even when we structure our oversight visits, we need to have the oversight visits that are going to be strictly around issues of monitoring and evaluation, where we actually go into municipalities, go into departments to check how far they are with the NDP, so that when we are coming back to Parliament, we can say with authority whether we are moving or whether we are not going anywhere. I think we need to sort that thing out. Maybe we will have. I will have to have a meeting with Honourable Frolic to sort that thing out.
Yep. Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Chair, I just think that you raise it in our focus with our whip responsible as well, John.
Yes, please.
Because if you look at the other committees, an alternative member from opposition side is where you have more than two members. Then the third member becomes an alternative. In this case, there aren't third members. It's two members per department, as the rule at the moment is. We have two seats in every committee, the third seat is alternate. Now, there isn't alternates here. They are fully fledged members. Yeah. Now it's Parliament.
No, I think let's leave it at that. No, don't worry. Let's leave it at that. They will clarify to us. We will have to look at what the rules are saying. And we will also sensitize if we, once we get that information, we are then going to also need, we will need to meet with our own WIP as well, so that we can sensitize him on these issues. And because there is a lot that we needed to deal with.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a lot. It's just a lot. Yes.
I had my hand, but
I'll yes. I haven't forgotten Honorable Ntombela. I know that he wants to speak on the oversight specifically, but we're still dealing with the in-house matters. Yes, Honorable Son.
No, I'm going to say 1 night because I'm scared of that 90% calculation. But to say, No,
Sally,
you know now the way you laughed, I just say, you know, oh God, you
changed. I'm glad we are together.
Not fair,
I forgot my God. Okay. Honorable Ntombela, we are moving on, members. Let's go on to this oversight committee, visit. Yes. Honorable Soma, you can't do this to us. Okay,
I said nothing stops us, by the way, to meet twice a week, and we've been doing it last week, so it's feasible. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I mean, regarding, because my main major concern around the issues of monitoring and evaluation, they are really, really taking a back seat, and that bothers me, and you know, the NDP can't implement itself if we are not monitoring it, because this is the committee that should be the authority in terms of articulating whether we are making progress or not. And at this stage, I don't think we are paying sufficient attention on those matters. But members, I think we've exhausted this matter. Honorable Ntombela, you had something to say on the oversight?
Yeah, thank you very much, sir. May I also take this opportunity to say thank you very much to administration for having made the oversight visit a possibility. It had been quite a long time the committee had not been visiting or doing oversight. Now that we've been there, it has to be commended. And I hope. That also brings about the possibility of the next visit, which is going to take place, I hope, at the right time. Pasquale knows about it and is ready for it.
Until he joined us.
And with regard to the visit, the recent oversight visit, Chair, I really wish that our visits should be.
I'm so sorry.
Administration should make sure that they are well coordinated with those that we are visiting. You know, it was embarrassing when we arrived in Mpumalanga and we went, only to be told by the mayor that we did not expect you. It wasn't a good sight. So I think our visits will be well coordinated, and so that we are able, comfortable as we come there, and do our business as expected. And they should also be made aware that we are not a federal state. When we go there for oversight, we do it as one government. Like getting a situation where we did not expect you, what our own programs and so on and so on. It wasn't compatible with me. It did not seem compatible. So I'm just saying it needs to be well coordinated. Those people that we're getting to must know that we're coming and why we're going there. Unless it is an unannounced.
Unannounced.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yes, members. Honorable Soma?
No, one line again, Chair. Thank you for the opportunity. That when we got a program and it specified what activity, what form we're going to take in terms of doing that oversight, it shouldn't be changed unless it's decided and we are fully aware of that one. I'm not blaming the administration, but it goes also within the lines of that Honorable Domina is raising, because it was an overspill from those provinces or departments and representatives, that we must be very firm on that, because as you are correctly saying, that even the future oversight also must be informed by the information that we have getting report from Public Service Commission and the like.
Yes, Honorable Van der Vaart.
I also enjoyed this with all the nonsense, but it shows you how much is wrong on the ground. That's why people get so excited about you. I first think that the unannounced visits leaked out, obviously. I mean, if you present a program to somebody, somebody's going to tell somebody, and you could pick up easily where people were expecting us, where they weren't supposed to. But let it be, I don't think you'll ever change it, but we must keep on trying to push for unannounced visits. That's where you find the real state of affairs. The other issue that I really want to raise is when we got to that hospital, is that I find it very strange that 100 staff members would pitch, or 40 would pitch, on the oversight of MPs. I don't know what they were all doing there. They should have been in their offices trying to make life better for people, and only the critical needed people should be there. And I'm saying that if you moved with a crowd, because we could, in most cases, we could not get access to where you were in the front talking to the people, and it was our oversight. Some of the staff there that is supposed to be intact with what happened in their departments across their provinces actually came there for the first time. Now that cannot be, that Parliament does an oversight and the staff of that province come and do their homework for the first time. So we must also look at when we go to provinces, who they sent and what value that individual would be playing, and they must realise that I don't want to say we have a right of way. Sounds terrible, because we're actually all equal. But we are doing the oversight to come and report to the executive, so we must be able to actually hear what the people are telling the chair and all of us, not fighting to get a spot to hear because the staff from that very same province is actually preventing us from doing so. And just to the resolutions, Chair, if I may, and you could maybe we can discuss it at another time. The only thing is not only to write to the executive. I think we as a committee and a collective have a right to petition as well to the speaker for investigation on some of those matters.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to be the people on the ground. We can also petition.
Exactly. No, thank you very much. Any other comment? Members, I want us to go straight to this report, even those that were not necessarily there. You may have some questions that you may ask. I wanted to share the same observation as Honorable Van der Vaart, especially when it comes to the numbers of staff that were there. It was the first time I went on the oversight visit where we actually had a contingent that is more than the members.
We had to take a big seat.
I mean, it was just, there were just too many staff members. Wherever we went, we had this big crowd, you know, and I don't know whether it's because I'm from the Standing Committee on Finance, and by its very nature, the places that we go to, there are not so many people. But where we went to for an oversight, whether we're going to a Devonport or we go to Messina, you know, to see how the customs are working there and what have you, the members are always there and they are always in the forefront. Maybe it's something that going forward we will have to just make sure that it doesn't happen, and that as members we go there as members. After all, we are the ones who are elected, and we actually are there to listen to the needs of the people, and they must be talking to us. And the interesting thing, I don't know if you did observe, we ended up having the staff members being the ones that are asking questions.
Yeah.
Now, and you know, and they were the ones that would be asking questions. And now you just start asking yourself, these are the people that at least, not our members of staff, fortunately, Biela.
Yeah.
No, I didn't see you asking any questions. Macaulay didn't.
He followed the protocol.
Yeah, so I'm saying, but you had a lot of provincial staff and you had the staff from national, that were the ones that were now asking questions. You know, now they were the ones who were performing the oversight. And, you know, and I think we ought to avoid that. Members, I was thinking that the way we are going to address this matter, because the report is before you, and if you had the opportunity, I hope you did have the opportunity to go through the issues that have been captured here. But I wanted us to maybe start with Mpumalanga, and can we have you to comment specifically on Mpumalanga, the Mpumalanga province. Remember in Mpumalanga, we got those presentations from DPS, from
PSC,
and we also were able to get the response from the province. But there were issues that, to me, really jumped out a lot during the PSC presentation that I really, really think we need to be following up on. And it links very much to the issues that we were discussing earlier on. The issue of the SODs or the DGs, that they are not, they signed the performance management agreement, but they are never appraised, but they get performance bonuses. What is the tool that is being used there? And we have an opportunity right now, because that's one of the things that we need to be engaging with Minister Khatebe on. It really is a matter that should be in his table, because we can't have that situation. There has to be a system of who actually does the appraisal, the performance appraisal of DGs or HODs. At this stage, it doesn't appear as though there is any kind of appraisal that is happening. The other issue that jumped out to me very, very much from that same province is the extent to which the Department of Health in that province is really not honoring, not abiding by the policy of paying your service providers within 30 days. And in fact, I think it was running to, in one province alone, $1.4 billion or something like that. How much was it?
1.4 billion.
Now, to me, that is staggering from one province. And think about it this way, that money is the money that is supposed to be circulating in the economy. Now it's sitting as digits somewhere, you understand? And I think there's something fundamentally wrong with that. I honestly think that maybe we may have to resolve on those specific issues. And maybe one of the things that we might have to do as this committee is actually to summon the provinces themselves to come before this committee and actually explain themselves. Because when you go there, we're not going there to, we are not on tour. We are not on tour. We are there to perform our oversight. And if we are picking up those things, we have to be summoning them here together with PSC in that province so that we can get a fuller picture of what is happening. We came there, this is the matter that came up, and we wanted to get your report on how far you've gone, so that we are not just this toothless committee that is simply sitting here to just look at reports, without really any action being taken. And we do need to be very strong on that, because I can tell you oversight function is very, very powerful. It depends on the people that are actually performing that oversight. So that many people out there are going to start, you know, they are going to become serious. If you look at the culture of compliance with, of compliance, generally with financial compliance, because the Auditor General and people would appear before SCOPA, what you tend to find is that more departments are complying because nobody wants to be shamed, you know. They don't want to be coming before that committee. And yet, it's, you know, we are responsible for ensuring that the experience of our citizens in our public, entities, in our departments and so forth, is really consistent with the values that are expressed, that are in the Constitution. So it's very important for us to actually bring them here, summon them to come before the committee. So I thought on Mpumalanga, let me just leave it there for you guys, maybe if there is any addition. But I know that it's been covered in the thing, but I would love us to have a specific resolution on those major issues. Yes,
Chair, I want to fully agree with you that they need to be summoned so that we pay some special attention on the issues of compliance. Because at some point, it's clear that on issues of compliance, there are not disciplinary measures in some of these departments. And those are the outcomes that we expect in any performance-driven department. So if these people are unable to discipline behavior of that sort, then the rod might be even bigger than the stake. So it becomes very important that we call them in, we focus on that, so that at least when they go back, we should have done justice to what was at that moment could not do justice enough because of time constraints. So I fully agree with you, Chair.
You know, members, there is something else that I also thought is very important. You know, I honestly think we are underutilizing, and unfortunately, we are also not giving that department sufficient resources, the Center for Public Service Innovation. Because when we pick up issues, let's take the issues that we picked up in hospitals, like the one that we picked up in Matikwana Hospital. Obviously, this committee should also be able to write a recommendation, you know, to the Center for Public Service Innovation to say, we want you to be active and be proactive by going to those people, sit down with them and actually find a way of how can you, you know, get the system to work and probably find innovations around it. Because when we went to their offices, members, I was really, really impressed with the kind of work that they are doing. But somehow we only give them 34 million rand per annum, and they only have 5 million. It doesn't make sense to me, by the way, that you will actually pay 30 million is going towards, you know, non-delivery staff, and only 4 million is left for that. It's the same thing we found with the PSC. They're only left with 3% to do their work. And I don't understand, why then do you have all these people that you employ and whatnot only to... Because that means we are employing people to get paid, not to work. You do get maybe my logic. Do you get my logic? It doesn't make sense. It's like the same thing. I want us to get to a stage where we are able to say to departments, hang on a sec, you can't be spending 100 million on salaries and staff, and you are spending 70 million on labor relations. It didn't make sense to me from DPSA. Honestly. And yet you have PSC that is short by 9 million, but you have a department that has budgeted over 70 million for labor relations. I don't know what do they do with that, but because I try to read their sub-programs, there is nothing to me that says you employ people, you pay them their package, total cost to employer is just about 100 million, but you then budget 70 million for labor relations. I don't know how much allocation are we giving to each staff member. You know, these are some of the issues that we need to look at. Okay, Honorable Mata.
Thank you, Chair. Just before we move off from Mpumalanga province, just looking at the document, our document, I'd like to make a couple of suggestions just in terms of the presentation that we will get them. 4.2 will be on page 25. Page 25, on 4.2 we refer to, you remember there was this quibble about the delegation of authority, and it's written down there, delegation of authority in the department contributes to poor service delivery. I think actually my suggestion would be it's the non-delegation rather than the delegation.
Yeah.
The non-delegation that leads to this thing, and then the other suggestion, if it's agreed to, would be on 4.4 that we make a point about the concept of engineering and stuff like that. And the last paragraph there, it was discovered that the departments do not have disciplinary committees to expedite disciplinary cases. I would suggest that we put in there the committees to expedite resolution of disciplinary cases. Because the thing we want to expedite is the resolution, not just the disciplinary cases. Resolution of disciplinary cases if it's acceptable there. And then on the next page, which is page 56, there's the centers. There's just one suggestion that I want to make on 4.10, because we're talking about two hospitals, Nobel and Makiwane, where we are saying during interaction with patients who were queuing on the frontline service of the hospitals, there are two hospitals there, people notice that you can just put in the S there. Right. Queuing at the frontline. That would be fine, then the report will read. There are other little things that language and stuff, I'm sure the staff will have a look at it when they clean up the report, but that's what I wanted to contribute on this one. Yeah. Thanks, Jen.
Just for us, so that we don't forget, we had discussed it with Honorable Soma. I'm not sure if you still remember. Honorable Soma. That we wanted to propose to the committee that maybe we have a joint committee with the portfolio committee on health, so that we can sensitize them. Remember, there are so many issues that came out of just on the Department of Health. Number one, some of the things that are happening in the Department of Health. The appointment of people who are not qualified. To me, the incidence of Limpopo, I'm just jumping a bit, in Limpopo in particular, where you have somebody who has no clue, a slightest clue, and who has never been there, by the way, who has been paid. Because when we were there, we were told that he was employed a year ago. But he has never been at work because somebody threatened him at the funeral somewhere. I mean, sometimes these stories, they just sound so horrendous. You just don't know. I mean, yeah, and this particular fellow, by the way, Mazibuko, tried to phone me to explain to me that he would like to sit down with me so that I can he can explain to me why he is not able to go to work. Unfortunately, I was never able to give him the opportunity because he was not saying he is going to work. He was just telling me that there were things that led to him to decide to stay at home.
And getting paid.
But he's being paid. And he's the CEO of a hospital. Wes is not qualified. You have very young, very, very young doctors who are really, really, I thought it was a tragic story. Very bright young doctors, you know, in Limpopo. Very bright, very bright. One was acting, you remember. And the other one was just explaining to us about the disastrous situation that is happening there. And in fact, for some time, Dombela and myself, we were actually psychologically, you know, affected because for a few days, honestly, I thought maybe I might have caught TB. No, because, I mean, he explained to us, and I was actually, we started coughing in our microbus on our way back from there. No, it's serious. And I'm saying, we definitely, and I'm saying, members, I'm just motivating for us to meet with this, to meet with the committee on health, because there were a lot of issues that are around the health, and also the issues around the PFMA. That issue of the PFMA to me, really, really, if there is one thing that as this committee we must do, we must address. Remember they were saying this, the deviation. Although the PFMA provides for the deviation, some of the hospitals are sitting with a 60% vacancy rate. We didn't go to a lot, by the way. We haven't seen the worst, but we are talking about those that we went to. They are sitting with the vacancy rate of doctors of 60%. Now, the reason for that is because the PFMA, although there is a provision for the deviation, but you apply for the deviation, it takes more than 2 months, 3 months to get a response that says you can go ahead or you must not go ahead. By that time, the doctor is long gone. And they have to move into this vicious circle. So basically, we are saying as this committee, and also our research team, I think they must also, when we are meeting with these guys, they need to begin to work around this thing, because we need to also, as this committee, we through with the, together with the committee on health, we need to initiate some of the possible reviews of the legislation, especially when it comes to institutions like your hospitals, because we found that it's not that most of them are not complying because they don't want to comply. And again, doctors were also complaining that it's becoming extremely, the compliance with PFMA is becoming too cumbersome, because they have other compliance. Remember that doctors, they have other compliance that are in terms of their standards, their medical standards and what have you, that they have to comply with. So they end up spending more time doing administrative work instead of attending to patients. Maybe we need to also say, maybe through the speaker or whatever, we need to get some research really done in that area, and probably maybe go to the department, maybe the committee on health, which is why we need to be talking to them, so that we can come up with something that can, so that we can act on empirical evidence. At this stage, these are just observations at this stage, but they are important for us to take the process forward.
Just a quick one, Chair.
Yes, Mr.
I forget, I knew I left something. On page 25, 4.5, there's a significant...
I'm noting you, Honorable Fanefat, you can come immediately after him.
There's a significant issue there. The departments are not adhering to the gender equity thing. I don't think it's about gender care. It's about people with disabilities. So it's either the employment equity, or we can take out the gender and just say the equity requirement of achieving 2% targets of people with disabilities. It's not a gender issue, it's a disability issue.
No, 4.5 on page 25.
Yeah, 4.5.
Was this the a general one?
It was
not specifically about gender?
No, it was specifically about disability.
Oh, okay.
The issue about disability is the 2%. The gender is much, much higher than that.
Yeah.
So we can either take out the gender and say equity requirement or employment equity requirement for 2% of people with disabilities. That's it.
Okay. Are there any other corrections in the report? Yes, Honorable van der Bart?
I would like to agree with you on in a certain way on the PFMA. Maybe it's time for a review, maybe not. But if you do go and meet with health, or if you summon the MEC or pre-media to come and explain, it would also assist if you know that the period of time that it takes is not always the fault of the PFMA. It's the CEOs that are not appointed at hospitals, it's the CFOs, and then it's the department, because they sometimes work through their districts or circles, whatever they call them, I can't even
that delegation of authority.
That is the problem. I don't think the law specific, I mean, any law from time to time has to be revisited to see if amendments are needed. I'm not contesting that. But if I can speak out of Limpopo, but if I listen to the guys at in that hospital specific, I don't think everybody understands how supply chain management works. Because if you have efficient, effective people and all your critical vacancies are filled, you don't have that problem. But the problem comes in a province like Limpopo and Mpumalanga and maybe others, is that those vacancies aren't full. Sometimes when they are full, they're not full with well-qualified persons for that specific job. And then people delay because they don't have the urgency. It's also work ethics. If you work with patients or people going to die, you can't follow that long route. And therefore deviations is critical to use effectively. But it is not used. You will find applications, because some of that stuff calls me afterwards. The problem is not the law, your commitment.
No, but this specific issue on deviation, Honourable Member, I agree with you on other issues on delegation of authority, especially when it comes to procuring certain services. But on this specific one, remember the law requires you that you have to advertise the position, you have to be doing this, you have to be doing that, and if you want to deviate, you must get the delegation, you must get it from somewhere, you know, and you must apply for the deviation. Now, the problem is that aspect of the deviation, my view is that if you are going to be, remember that the people that you are dealing with here, they are also, even if they are not efficient, the people in the provinces that are supposed to be giving the authorization in terms of that deviation. The problem is that those people may be sitting with their own other backlog, you know, and maybe we need to have something, a dispensation that says, that gives provision for the deviation of those powers to, you understand, to correct the aspect of the of not necessarily take away the deviation, but to empower the authority to be able to give those delegations to the hospital where the action is happening. Because it looks like the power is centralized in provinces. But I agree with you, we need to be looking at that. And the other thing is that is why I'm saying maybe we do need the empirical study on this. Because you and I, we can't really say what exactly has to be done. But all we are saying is that there has to be a research undertaken on that to identify the root cause of the problem. So that if the root cause of the problem is the legislation, then let the legislation be reviewed. But if the problem is really the laziness, or if it's also the ignorance of supply chain management processes, then that must be addressed. But there is definitely a problem. I think we agree. I agree with you. Yes, Honorable Sona. What, Lisona? Why are you depressed?
No, I'm not depressed. I'm saving time because
Okay.
It's 11 o'clock.
Yeah, I know.
How's the weather on the other side of it?
How was the weather? But remember, I think the major things that we are basically saying here is that indeed, as the committee, we were pleased because these are good news. In all the NYDA offices we went to, my impression is that we were very happy with what we saw there. And our major concern was around the hospital, but also our major concern was around the Tucson service centers. Can I propose members so that we can round up this report and possibly adopt it? That maybe one of the things that we need to do is that we need to be calling the DPSA that was supposed to be coordinating the Tucson centers. And they said there is a document that they have, because we wanted to see that document. I think the things that are happening with Tucson centers is very, very tragic. Very tragic. I think it's very, very urgent. If there is one thing that we can do effectively, is that one. But there was one that made, that was a joke anyway. Mervyn, we were told that the minister, was it the deputy minister, who came and promised the, you remember, we were in, was it in Limpopo or no, in Mpumalanga? The deputy minister promised them that no, don't worry. Next week there will be dust here.
Everything.
And the minister disappeared without trace after that. After having promised them that, you know, everything was going to be done, everything will be sorted out and what have you. So these are the things that we need to address, because that's not right. Okay. Yeah. Oh, no.
Now I'm happy that we are going to Tucson centers. Allow me to take the approach of Honorable Mutau. So don't be rash with me. I'm just following the queue in terms of what Honorable the trend. Page 27. The last line, Chair. To ensure, I would suggest that we don't necessarily say budget resources, because budget is only in money terms, but in terms of the capacity and the tools of trade and all those things, then if you say resources, it's a wrong way. That's one. Two, Chair, 5.3, also there is a page 28, yeah? 5.3, I'm suggesting that also we must factor in DPSE on that one. It's a cross-cutting matter in terms of the performance agreements and so forth, while the DPSA needs to lead, but also to ensure that it happens. Monitoring and evaluation must also be responsible. Hence, earlier on, we did also say that there must be clarity who's responsible for the performance agreements and appraisals thereof.
In fact, when we maybe what we needed to do, we also needed to get clarity, because I also reflected on this issue, and I was actually thinking, should the Tucson centers be with DPME, or should they be with because remember that Tucson centers are not necessarily delivering. It's the departments that are doing the work there. But Bona, they basically coordinate and synergize efforts and that kind of thing. I thought that maybe we might have to apply our minds on that one. Maybe we will need to get clarity when they come here. Are we resolving that we are going to call these guys to come and actually make a presentation to us on how they are going to be resolving on this matter?
Yeah.
Because I also wanted us to sponsor a debate as a committee.
Yeah.
onto some centers. Because to me, they are very, very important. They are good models, even in urban areas, not only in rural areas, even in urban areas, where you can go to one place and you can get all the services of government, you know, and we need to be starting that debate. Shouldn't we be thinking about that, where you can go and you can get all the services in one place, you know, and I think that's the future that we are looking at South Africa. So maybe we will need to sponsor a debate on that one, as this committee, to say we want this particular debate.
I'm not. I was waiting for the chair, because I'm taking your cue, that's why I'm not.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair. 5.5, there's some contradictions there. The first line, the employment of people with disability, second line, should be taken serious in the provinces. The second line, the provincial departments are performing well in this respect. It cannot be. When we're saying that they should take it seriously now, we're saying they are performing well. I think that line, provincial, second line of 5.5, provincial department, you must just take it out that one, because it causes contradiction in terms of understanding what do we really want to say there. That would be my submission. The other one, Chair, 5.6 and 5.7, it's one, it's in terms of the thinking and the logic and the intention of those two paragraphs, it's one. And I'm suggesting that should be consolidated, that it reflects as one item instead of having...
Which one, Honourable?
Page 28, Chair.
5.6 and 5.7.
Yes, that's my suggestion. But also in that line of 5.6, and also at the last line of unresolved grievance and financial wastages, because there's money that gets wasted in the process if this thing is not finalized in terms of grievances. I hope it does make sense, but that way you can recraft the sentence so that it can make sense in the intention of what we're trying to say there. The other one, Chair.
Shouldn't we be getting a report? Shouldn't we be getting a report from DPSA that gives us the exact amount of how much exactly is this thing costing us? Because it's happening across board. In fact, let's link it, Comrade Honorable Lesoma, with the issue that we had raised. We also need a report from DPSA, which is linked to this as well, that you have a lot of staff that are on suspension, but they are on full pay. Some of them, they've been on suspension for 3 years. For 3 years, and we need to quantify that. We need that information. Diela, you are documenting that, hey? Please, we need that ASP, and when exactly do we want to get that information from the department members? Because I really want us to be resolution oriented and have a resolution with time frame.
14 days. I mean, this must be on the record somewhere. I mean.
Okay, so members, we are resolving that it should be 14 days.
Okay.
And we have a 16 this afternoon,
Chief.
Yes, ma'am.
5.9.
Mm.
5.9, Chair.
Yeah?
I'm suggesting 5.10 and 5.12 should be one thinking in terms of it's more of the same. It's only that it's separated, so that also your timeline in terms of your time frame also is very clear, because the way it's separated, then it, for me, when I read it, it says it must be, but I'm raising it for submission for discussions here. 5.10 and 5.4. 5.11, Chair, the last line thereof. Where it starts by center managers to contribute to the development of, I'm suggesting that not necessarily of the funding model, of institutionalization and because when you resolve the issue of the institution, then the funding and all that thing, institutionalization model, not funding model per se, because it's not only, we're not only concerned about the funding, but also we want to know where it's legally housed and so forth. problem using the wrong word if I say institutional inclusion. But the point I'm saying that it must be a
the whole approach.
Model, yes.
And remember that when we might have to, when we are dealing with this issue of two song centers, I was thinking that maybe we will need to have the, we will definitely, because remember that the issues of two song are not necessarily financial.
Mm.
The other ones, they have to do with who is taking responsibility, overall responsibility for them. Because it seems like that is, and that is why we are saying we need to call that lady, because they said they do have the document,
yeah.
And it will also be good if we can get, remember we had agreed with them that we might have to ask DPSA to convene a special workshop where we will also be attending as members, just on two song centers. And may invite also the different center managers from different places, because it looks like we came up with this concept, it's happening elsewhere, there are best practices elsewhere, but we've never really workshopped it, we've never really exchanged best practices, we've never really conceptualized it and see what works, what doesn't work, and hearing from the practitioners, because all our information is just based on those few that we went to. But there are best practices out there, and maybe we should be recommending that the PSA must seriously consider, you know, calling a workshop, because that's what we agreed when we were there with them. Yeah.
Okay, the last one, Chair.
Okay.
From my side, in the last page, there is the 5.19, there, what I agree with that, let's improve what you raised earlier on in terms of having a joint PCs. So that we can discuss the matter and also give them formally also our observations from the oversight and also moving forward a scientific study in terms of other patterns, whether it's across the board and its magnitude. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, I think that is in order. Yes, Honourable Mata?
Yes, just to make sure that we got that thing right. Honourable Lusuma touched on it, but I'm not sure whether they actually did get it. 5.5, where we've taken serious leave, ne? Not taken serious, I hope you got the leave, L-Y-L-A-N, serious leave, because other people are going to read our report and you don't want them to look at us.
Yes.
Munching. And then 5.6, the government, the second line there, the government is losing millions, I would say millions of rand, ne? Otherwise millions could be anything.
Yeah, it could be people.
Or, exactly, yeah. And 5.8, the Department of Public Works should ensure that maintenance of government buildings remains a priority and is done. You see, they don't do it and they don't prioritize it. It's got to be done. You can prioritize it and not do it. It doesn't help us. 5.9, I would suggest that the second line, service and administration as well as standing monitoring and evaluating to frequently, I would take out the frequency.
Oh, yes,
take out the frequency to conduct, because you already say more visits there. So then I will be happy with that.
I also wanted to say we need to have a resolution, members, on public works. We need to have a joint meeting. We've said that previously. We need to make sure that if we schedule it this time, we must have a joint meeting with public works, because we are extremely concerned with public works. I mean, all public works, the state buildings, they are not looked after at all. They are just dilapidating.
Chairperson, I think the same applies to the Department of Health. Yeah. We need to have a joint.
Yes, we've agreed on that one on health. Yeah, we've agreed that we need to have a joint meeting. We need to prepare. Please prepare those letters to request those joint meetings. Members, can we then adopt this oversight report here?
I'm trying to make sense of 5.18.
Oh,
okay.
Department of Health should take the frontline service officials as a priority regarding funding and resources. And some of them, I don't understand.
5.8.
5.18.
5.18. I was wondering what you were talking about. Okay.
The Department of Health should take the frontline service officials as a priority regarding funding and responsibility.
I assumed that we were talking about the OPDs and the way the whole frontline office. It doesn't look where we went, you didn't get the feel, the touch and feel of the frontline services, even the officials, it doesn't look like they are trained. I don't know if, everything about the frontline, they simply do not seem to take that seriously. That's what I understood this to be meaning.
Yeah,
we thought
that he was
not
there.
Oh, he wasn't there?
No, but he has forgotten. You know, he was tired at that time.
No. No, that's not fair. No, because Ndombela was there. Ndombela, we caught TB together.
No, I've forgotten. I thought he's sitting next to me.
But guys, I honestly think, honestly, the joint meeting, we need to clean up this report. Maybe between ourselves, the members have already inputted on the report because that was very important for us to get their input. We need to clean up this report so that it's going even in terms of the recommendations that we have. It must include the recommendations, which are not there now, but we want to put those recommendations that we came up with. And this report is going to be very important that when we are writing to the different the chairs and whatnot, it's important for us, the cleaned up version, to be attached, because then we refer them to specific observations. And I wanted, we took photographs, and sometimes I do know that we don't take those things seriously when you are putting your report. Sometimes it's very important to give the visuals in something that you are talking about. You know, when you are sending them something, it's important that you send them together with something. And again, I don't think we did justice especially the one in Limpopo, because in Limpopo we are sitting with that particular hospital. What is it? It's kind of catastrophic, you know, if you know what I mean, because the building itself, and people are coming with. I don't think we've captured that well, Biela. When I went through the report, I'm not sure, but I don't think we captured it, that you are literally sitting with the people who come with tonsillitis, but you end up living with TB. You actually came for tonsillitis, and maybe you end up dying of TB. And in fact, there is something that young doctor said. And he was very, very worried because there is a cost factor, there is a risk, a major risk factor. Because he said even visitors, they've seen visitors who come to visit families, but then those visitors, you know, they will be coming back sometime, they are coming back, they are patients themselves with that same thing because of the ventilation and so forth. And remember that he showed us even that, I don't know, some of you did not go there, maybe. That is why you don't have this thing captured well.
No,
Tina, no, that and Ndombela, we went where they were even eating. You did you go where they were eating? In that place, I mean, it's a place, they swear they keep their drips, they keep their medication, but they eat there. Even as we were meeting, they have all that there. It was like really scary. I was terrified for a few days on that one. And we need to also bring to the attention of the minister at this committee that this is what we found at that hospital, and we are extremely concerned, but we also want to do this through through the joint committee as well. Okay, members.
Jane, can I just
say
yes,
when we have our joint meeting with Public Works, I think the essence should be, the topic should be the maintenance. Of their
yes.
properties all over, because I think if I had to go to Knobel Hospital when I'm sick, I'd get off my ambulance bed and walk home and die at home rather. The thing is, it must not be a vague thing. They must know very well why we are having that.
I
problem.
Think let's spell that out. You are absolutely correct. It's the maintenance. And by the way, we're not just talking about hospitals.
No, no, no.
Even government buildings, where the buildings that we own, by the way, look at the buildings when you are driving. No, look at the buildings when we are driving here, driving towards Acacia Park. You know those houses of government there on the side? They look dilapidated. I don't know if these people, and yet we allocate billions of money to these people, and we needed to have a joint meeting with this. With this committee, because really these things are also, remember when I spoke about the issues around digital revolution, the implications of that are that we now need to be really be to invest more on labor intensive industries. Now the buildings form part of tourism. When people are coming here and all they see is just dilapidated buildings and films and whatnot, who wants, who would want to go to a place like that? Would you like to take a photograph, Kasim, in a place like that? You won't. Huh? Because you want to show your girlfriend when you come back what you've been, where you've been. You don't want to, oh, your husband, your wife, okay, your wife. You don't want to come back to your wife and show your wife that, you know, I've been to this place and it's just filth and whatnot. You want to see all those nice things. Because you want good memories,
yeah.
So it's important.
You are really very progressive. You say your husband.
No, make a mistake, Mervyn. You know I meant one.
Yes.
South Africa is a very democratic country. Don't discriminate. And we don't make assumptions. Yes, yes, Honourable.
Chair. No, it's okay.
Chair, a matter that is very close to my heart. Before we close on this report, you started by talking about intimidation. What I would like to know, and I'm sure members of the committee would like to know, is what happened with the threats that were given to you during the oversight. I mention this because it's something that is very, very important. Our view is that no member of this committee should ever be threatened for doing their job, because when that happens, it means all the members of this committee are being threatened. It means all the members of other committees are being threatened. It means all the members of this parliament are threatened, and that cannot be the case. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I must tell you that subsequently to that, two cases were opened because that threat didn't stop. Even when I went to KZN, I then had to open a case in KZN in Hillcrest. And the case in Hillcrest, it has a lot of dynamics because there were numbers and other things they started seeing. They were able to pick up some of the threats, even from Facebook or something like that. So they were able to do that. But I must commend the Limpopo, because General Linda has come back to me. They were able, even with the number, to locate the number, the telephone number. No, the number is coming, is registered with the Department of Health in Mpumalanga. Yeah, it is registered with the Department of Health in Mpumalanga, but obviously a lot of information, I can't divulge much because the investigation is there, but there is some movement, there is some progress there. And I was pleased when he advised me that they were able, and now they are busy trying to go for prosecution and what have you and that kind of thing. But he did come back to me, at least General Linda, but in case at end, I haven't had anything yet. But even there, the nice thing is that the ones that I was getting, they were even having, it actually got so bad to a point where people, they would even be sending me packets of something that looked like cocaine, and weird stuff. The person that is responsible for that case is handling it, but he did botch the case a bit. I think he used his own, he posed as my assistant, but they were able to detect that it's his number and he's investigating, and they then sent me the message that, by the way, we know that you've sent somebody like this, or whatever. So, but yeah, they are working on it. There is some progress, I'm hoping.
Parliament should also protect members, if we do our job well, which you did, that politicians or senior managers, whoever they might be up there, cannot act in such a way.
Okay, members, let's move on. Yes, Honourable
Sam. Chair, I'm not on the subject matter because that one also has to go through the Office of Honourable Justice as well. But on the report, I would like to suggest Honourable Members. I would like Chairperson, Honourable Chair, to suggest to the committee that since in terms of the spirit, I hope I was reading the mood of engagement with the report the way I thought I have, that we are in agreement as a whole in terms of the actual substantive recommendations, that we also inform our program moving forward, that with those amendments that we have raised, let's adopt the report, but before you sign it off, can it be sent to us within 24 hours, because those are minor ones, can be even done within 30 minutes. Send to us so that we can okay them, so that it can be signed off.
But no problem.
From where we are seated now, if we can adopt it, so that it also can go the government, parliament processes, so that we can go when we invite the official departments and the joint sitting of those committees of health and public works, understanding in a way. Thank you, Chair.
And members, I must apologize because I also did not do justice to this report. I've been under a lot of pressure over the last few days, and but in future I will really, really try to apply my mind a lot on these reports. There were some of the mistakes, the minor mistakes that we could have worked on them and sort them out. Yes, Honourable Cousin?
Chairperson, I wasn't there on the oversight being an honourable alternative on that committee, so I'm not sure about these threats and what happened. Actually, I'm actually a bit in the dark. But what I want to say is that I think that we have a deep issue of the understanding of oversight amongst the public sector. Before I was in this committee, I was in the Portfolio Committee of Higher Education and Training. One of the individual oversights that I did as a Member of Parliament was to the Lovedale TVET College campus in Ellis, and I was physically manhandled and thrown off that campus as a Member of Parliament.
No.
It wasn't the first time, it wasn't the last time. I have written to my Chief Whip, and actually Parliament does have a guideline on oversight, etc. It's not just what is inculcated in the Constitution. There's a document that he had sent to me. I think the problem here, Chairperson, is that many within our public sector are not well versed and do not quite understand the authority of members of Parliament and our oversight responsibility. And I think what needs to be requested is that there be a real effort and drive to educate our public servants and members of the executive, wherever they may be, to understand what it means to be held accountable via oversight by members of the legislature. Because I think it's unacceptable. I wasn't there, so I'm not sure what happened on this oversight. But what I know is my own personal experience as a Member of Parliament, that we have a right to do oversight, and that there is no one in the executive and there is no official that can stop us from doing oversight as long as we are within the confines of the law. We are not putting anyone in danger, we are not doing those kinds of things. And I really do believe, Chairperson, that we must take every opportunity to reaffirm that, and that Parliament has a responsibility, perhaps through the joint chairperson, to ensure that we educate all those that we have a responsibility of oversight over, to understand what that role is and to respect it. Because if they don't respect it, we have a serious problem in the separation of powers and in upholding our constitution.
Yes, Honourable Tex?
Yeah, no, I fully agree with Mr. Kassim, Honourable Kassim, what he's saying regarding people not respect, public do not respect the powers the members of parliament have, you know. But I think the problem goes much deeper. I remember prior to 1994, members of parliament used to be highly respected, and even up to today, throughout the world, throughout the world, members of parliament are very well respected, and people in other countries are saying to us, why do we take, as South Africans, just take the issue of being a member of parliament like it's just nothing, you know, the way we treat that office of being a member of parliament is just, it's just nothing. But I think the problem goes much deeper. Civil servants and members of public out there have simply no regard for members of public, for members of parliament, and they do not respect our authority. And it's also to do with how we treat each other in that house when the TV cameras are there and people view us on 408. The way we treat each other, so much of disrespect and contempt that members of the public just view us as nothing. All of us, doesn't matter whether you're ANC or DA or whatever, we are all of us, because of the way we also conducting ourselves and treating each other. And people, the public has totally lost complete respect for members of parliament. Not only the members of the parliament, but all political parties. So we also have to try and see how we can improve the image of members of public. Thank you.
I agree, Honourable Tex. But I think this matter we also need to escalate this matter around the safety and the issues of just the well being of members. Escalate it to Honourable Didiza as well. You know, because she is actually responsible for our well being as members. And we also need to also sensitize Honourable Frolic, we need to have something on the safety of members during oversight, because I know that there are other members also who've gone on oversight and have had similar experiences. This is not an isolated one, and there has to be something that Parliament does, you know, as an institution, to rectify this problem, yes, to address this challenge.
Not to really prolong this matter, but there has to be, and I'm making a proposal that perhaps we can take to yourself as our chairperson, there has to be a resource for members of parliament to protect members of parliament. If I go into oversight as a member of parliament and my constitutional rights have been disregarded, parliament must be able to take legal action on behalf of us as members, because I can't afford to do it in my personal capacity. And my political party has a number of legal cases that it has to take care of. It cannot, for every single case, protect us as members of parliament. We are members of this parliament, all of us, ANC, DA, EFF, whatever. So if our rights are being undermined, parliament has a responsibility to provide us with legal support where necessary, if we are being undermined as members of parliament, if our constitutional rights are being disregarded, if, for example, I've been thrown off an institution where I'm entitled to be to provide oversight as a member of parliament, I should be able to apply to a resource in parliament that will be able to give a court order to say allow this member of parliament to exercise his or her responsibility of oversight. It has to be something concrete. It cannot just be some sort of rhetoric or platitude. There has to be something concrete.
I certainly agree, and I'm hoping that you guys are putting something together so that we can formulate something concrete to Honourable Frolic. because this is something that is arising from this, and it will be good if it's reflected as well in our minutes, because it's got to be reflected in our minutes. It's been a matter that we discussed. Members, can I agree that you support the report? And who is seconding? Okay, thank you. Thank you. Members, thank you very much. Let's move on very quickly. The peer report, workshop report. Again, this one is very straightforward, but it's a report that, again, I'm afraid we will have to, because there were a lot of issues that were coming out of that are also, I think we will have to share this report with health as well during our joint committee. We need to share it with the committee on health. So we have those two issues, okay, with health. And maybe we have to also make sure that the powers that be slot us. We have to request, and if they will request that we must have for a slot for these joint meetings. Yes. We need to have a slot for these joint meetings. Yes.
Chair, in consistent with the last discussion, the oversight report, may we then also on the probably on the last line of 6.15, that will say that the chair should write and also convene a joint meeting, as we have agreed on that one, so that we can incorporate this one when we meet with them in with the health committee, because there are things that the health committee needs to apply on based on our recommendations.
Okay, no, that's fine.
Other than that,
I
will move for the adoption of the report.
Okay, thank you. Members, we have three votes that we need to agree on. The budget vote report. Let's start with public service and administration. You have your report that is dated 10 May 2017, guys. Do you have that report? Why are people looking lost? So why are you quiet then? I'm expecting hands, I'm expecting something so that we can...
May I say that obviously reading through the report, one is from our side noting the content, but obviously we reserve our right to get approval from our caucus on a discussion we have with our caucus on how we're going to do what on every schedule.
On all of them?
In all.
Okay. No, that is fine. That is fine. Yes, Honourable Ms. Thomas?
It's fine. Dear Honourable, but the vice is saying that the reports are tabled now, but we'll come back to adopt them. That's what we are saying. We want to see consultation.
No, we're not.
Will you say that as well from our side so that we can also... do our own processes as well,
and remember when we are adopting the report we have to go page by page. Mm. But we are not doing that today. We are tabling the report today. Mm. And so that, in other words, we are being given a green light to go and now to your own structures as well. Mm. To scrutinize this report and come back with you know, an informed mandate.
Indeed.
Okay. And okay, sure.
We have a strong view, but we have to
carry on with a strong view. I think I would like it.
We'll inform you on our WhatsApp group. You are not in the
Honourable Lusoma, you can't qualify to be a shadow minister because you are in the ruling party. Please, just please. Otherwise, you will be accused of taking a coup. You must withdraw, because honestly, with you it will be a coup, a serious coup. You can't do that. Okay, Members,
open doors.
The announcements, are there any announcements? Okay, members, you will be informed of the date and time for the adoption of the report. In the interim, let's hope that the whip of the various committees, let them go and... shall the Minister of the PME. You are no longer... you know this thing of calling Shedo, you guys, you end up taking it too seriously to a point where you no longer listen to the chair. You know? The real thing, you know. No. I was saying, please guys, do go and apply yourselves on this report, and you will be advised on the day of us, you know, when we are going to convene to actually adopt this report. Okay. Okay, members, I don't have any more announcements. Is there any time? Yes?
Of the report.
Off the record?
Yes.
Okay. There is a tape here.
You remember that Master Paul,
yes,
was on a solitary mission when we're doing oversight.
Yes.
And we did not get a report of that.
No. Yes. Actually, it was an omission. It was an omission on my part. And we've had very serious engagements on that. And I am informed that everything is under control and the report shall be forthcoming in the near future. Okay. Thank you, members. The meeting is adjourned. No, it didn't dress smart like that for nothing. Never. I subsequently had a very, very passionate conversation with him. You are so shocked.